whether we're waking you up or putting you to sleep, this is the Generic Live Show with Dale Campbell. Thanks for joining us here on a Wednesday. This is the Makeup Broadcast. Because we didn't do one on Sunday, we're making it up now, so you still have a podcast this week. And we're doing a show on Sunday. We're going to talk to you more about that. We're going to have a wrap-up of everything that's happening this weekend for you in the last segment of the show. This is going to be an interesting chat, but isn't this song cool? I like this song. It's my personal favorite bumper music song. In the last while, so you can expect to hear that one again. The last segment of the show, we had a good response from this, so we're going to continue doing it. We're going to continue to run down the Senate ballot paper. Remember, how to vote on the Senate has changed since you last went to the polls, so remember to take this in note. You vote for six. You can vote for six preferentially. Six people above the line, or a minimum of 12 below the line. So you've got to take that into consideration. We've already told you about a couple of parties that are up for grabs. One of the 34 parties up for grabs: the Australian Cyclist Party, the Arts Party, the Secular Party of Australia, Labor, Liberal Democrats, the Online Direct Democracy Empowering the People Party, my personal favourite, I'm kidding. Liberals and Nationals, Animal Justice Party, Qatar Australian Party, Marriage Equality Party, Mature Australia Party, the Nick Svolian Team Party, and the Pirate Party of Australia, the Australian Liberty Alliance, and the Darren Hinch Justice Party. We're up to the Citizens Electoral Party Council. They are in column P. These guys are massive conspiracy theorists who follow very strange views of an obscure American politician called Lyndon LaRouche. Strange. They're a right-wing party. In Q, you've got the Shooters, Fishers and Farmers Party. Formerly just the Shooters Party, but it has included the farmers in an attempt to widen the base. Narrow range on policies, mainly focused around gun, fishing and farming, and outdoor recreational. They're a right-wing party. And they have aligned against, they've railed against the Greens previously. Unnamed Queensland is in the R column. Apparently, an anti-Hanson party called Voice of Multiculturalism is Australia, not big enough to be registered yet, and caught flat-footed by a sudden election. Hence its historic, mysterious status. They are leftist. Leftish, rather. I keep saying ist instead of ish. The Democratic Labour Party, they are a conservative party, not related to the Labour Party, so don't get too excited. Centralist on economic issues, but right on social issues. Actually attempted to win back abortion laws in Victoria. They are a mid-right party. Family First, highly conservative party, links to conservative Christian groups. They are a far-right party. The Renewable Energy Party, they oppose the TPP trade deal. Advocate for renewable energy, have a huge list of policies on their website, and for some reason are not joined with the Greens yet. Left wing. In the V column, which is ironic, is the Australian Sex Party with the Marijuana Party. Although left on policies, they are more libertarian. They stick up for sex. Did I just say that out loud? They stick up for sex workers. Clipping that out for later. You're welcome, CJ. But also stand against wowvers and censorship. Yep, stick up for sex workers. That's my new ringtone. They're actually doing a preference deal with Labour, and they have also teamed up with the single issue party, Hemp Party, who campaigned for, you guessed it, legalised cannabis. They're a left-wing party. In the W Party, they've got the Vote Flux Upgrade.org, Upgrade Democracy Party, the only party with a website in their name, has no policy position, indicates to vote entirely on the polls of its members. IMO, in practice, would probably vote similar to the Pirate Party due to membership overlap. No political leaning. Pauline Hanson's One Nation. Well, hang on, I had a clip here of her a second ago. This lovely lady is Pauline Hanson. I know you're here. Where are you, Pauline? Pauline! Mm-hmm. Here you are.
I don't like it.
I should have had this queued up, actually.
There's a market in the wings, and it's saying racist things. I won't cop that. No way.
She likes Neil Diamond too, by the way. Just want to put that out there.
Anything except I like Neil Diamond. Yeah.
That was really good! Woo! I have a team of professionals. I'm a professional. Nailed it. She's a right-wing party. I don't need to tell you who they are. Rise Up Australia. They're racist, fascist idiots, apparently, according to this website. Involved in street balls and protesting in the building of new mosques, their founder Danny Nala is actually Sri Lankan by birth. They are a far-right party. The Socialist Equality Party, the official party in Australia of the Fourth International for really edgy university students. They are far-left. Now we're getting into the AA column. The Christian Democratic Party, the Fred Nile Group, formerly known as. So, yeah, you can kind of guess who's at the head of that. Far right, you know, he's the famous one for saying God made Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve, if you remember that from a couple of years ago. The Palmer United Party is also having a few members up for the Senate, mainly just money fueled vehicle for transportating Clive Palmer's gigantic ego. They're a centre-right party. The Glenn Larders team. Politics from what is the Griffith University political professor Duncan McDonald calls no fixed ideological adobe, but its shades of economics, nationalism, and protectionism. It's the only party without a Wikipedia page, surprisingly. Wow. I did not know that. I'm learning things alongside you, by the way. It's a right-ish party. The Jackie Lambie Network. She's good on veteran issues, drugs, and gay marriages, but far off Pauline Hanson on the rest. So she's a right-wing party. The Australian Progressives, centre-left party. Especially every left-wing thick piece you've heard on the internet collates into party platform. Alternatively, the kind of policies that the Greens or Labour left would draw up if uninhibited by polls and fear the Murdoch press. Centre-left, but has policies around dentistry, surprisingly enough. The Australian Christians, the conservative Christians, says that Christianity forms a common core of values of Australian society. Right-ish, so not as far right as you would think. Drug law reform, a single issue party, as hinted by their logo, A1 to do criminalise weed plus a bunch of other drugs. They're centre left. The Australian Health Party, formerly known as the Natural Medicine Party, anti-vaccination, pro-alternative therapies, though. So they're left-ish. Country-minded is a party, by the way. Started by disgruntled ex-National Party members. One of their candidates came second in Adrian Pilotti's seat in 2015. They're centre-right. The Veterans Party, advocate for veterans, they seem to hate all other political parties, put out some angry media releases about the Greens in particular, is fielding a transgender candidate in Brisbane, policies about non-veterans appear to adhere bold to uninspiring do what you like and see what gets a media attention strategy. So they swing from time to time. The Greens, we all know who they are, slightly lefter than Labour, the third party in Australian politics, just. The Greens, press reliefs, Mad Libs, the big parties will never insert policy here, only the Australian Greens can insert policy here. Left wing. Sustainable Australia, the party for racists who don't actually want to admit it. Okay, this is interesting. One of the two parties to campaign for lower immigration, the other, of course, is One Nation. Shocking. Claims to be anti-discrimination and pro-immigration, but wants to work to reduce the number of migrants by two-thirds. So perhaps just confused about what those words mean. They're a centre-right. So not as extreme as Pauline Hanson's One Nation. So they're your candidates for the Senate. Now there's your parties for candidate for the Senate. Wow, that took a 7 minute segment and a 16 minute segment. Wow, that's a lot of candidates, mind you. We did have an ad break here. We're not going to have time. We're running a bit behind on time, quite obviously. So I don't think we're going to have time to play clips from the Great Burger Debate. But the Great Burger Debate happened. The Emporium was packed out. Actually, it wasn't really. There was actually a few people that turned up for the Emporium. Thank you. And one agreed to be on the show. Kieran, the Mad King, a foodie expert now of GLS, is now on as it's a weird situation. I don't know if he's an intern. We'll have to talk, Kieran. But you have dubbed yourself the foodie of Doma, so foodie of GLS as well as Doma. So you would have to. Any food stories I want to talk about, I have to get your approval on. I think that's what that means. So there's that. So the Great Burger Debate went off without a hitch. It was fantastic. We got featured, by the way. We want to thank Blog Talk Radio, who we're a proud affiliate with. We need to push that more, by the way. Can we push that more? I'm going to write that down on my to-do list. Blog Talk Radio. Let's get that on there. Let's get that on that list. On the list. There you go. You would think we have a team here at GLS. You would think that one of the people would push me to record some Blog Talk Radio stuff. But they featured me on the site. I didn't even have to pay for it or anything. I don't know if anyone else foot the bill, but I certainly didn't. I launched up the page one day and I saw it. There I am. The Great Burger Debate at the 2016 Great Burger Debate. There it was, front page on Blog Talk Radio. .com, wherever, blogtalkradio.com/genericliveshow, by the way. The archives will be up straight after this. I'm going to work on them straight after this. So, Blog Talk Radio promos. Put promos there. I don't know what that means. Yeah, that's better. Put stingers there. There you go. So, yeah, we got featured on the front page. Isn't that exciting? But no, it went off without a hitch. I believe Hungry Jack's won the debate. It's interesting to look back on it now, reflect on it. I was reflecting on it before the show, actually, in fact, as well as in the show. I think reflecting on sitting there and eating four burgers and four sides, it was a painful experience. I'm just having flashbacks now. But it was interesting because it was an interesting experiment, definitely, because I feel like it's just it was a big task, and to present it as a presidential debate, I think to give my I give my grades here. I have grades here on the candidates. I don't know if you want me to run them down or not, but I feel like in order, I think Hungry Jack's with the Whopper. I think the Whopper was the highlight of the debate. I think I was surprised on how good it was, considering it was the last candidate up on the stage, and it was just so good. McDonald's was disappointed, so they came dead last for me. Then closely followed by KFC, they were in second last, and I think Red Rooster did a lot of groundwork for me. I think that they had a good burger. Not an impressive burger, but at any stretch of the imagination. But they had a good burger. So that was exciting to have that debate. It was fun filled. You can check it out everywhere. It's everywhere. It's on the podcast feed, so you can check it out there. And thank you, Kieran the Mad King, for coming on the debate as well. He didn't have to. He agreed. He wanted to come on. It was a free lunch for him, so he was not complaining. Check that out. That was live in the Great Living Emporium. I need to do more events like that. You know what? It's tongue in cheek, and it was an on-air joke that had formulated into something huge, and I just wanted it to. That's weird. Someone at my door. I'll go check. In the break. It formulated something, and it was really cool. It's cool to do events down there in the Great Living Emporium. Might use that more when guests come over to record down there rather than in the studio here. As we continue here on the Generic Live Show. Well, we know that games take a long time sometimes, but this game took 30 years in the making. Sea of Thieves actually came out at E3. We've got to talk about it, so we're going to be talking about it. We're going to be talking about it here in just a couple of minutes. It's 11:21.
This is the Generic Live Show with Dale Campbell.
Thanks for joining us here on the Generic Live Show. Here on a makeup broadcast. Thanks for joining us. I don't know why I'm doing that. But anyway, glad you can be with us. It's good to be here on a Wednesday. It's not the normal Sunday time slot, but technical difficulties did keep us away from the microphones on Sunday. So, but we'll be back this Sunday, technology permitting. I know it's a long wait for a show. Don't get me started. But anyway, thanks for joining us, though. It's good to be here, and we know that good things come to those who wait. Maybe this is a little bit too long to wait. Sea of Thieves is a masterpiece that has been 30 years in the making. It's coming to Xbox sometime next year. Before the dawn of consoles, the brothers Tim and Eric Stamper were heavily involved in coin-operated arcade games. Reading from Matthew Dunn from news.com.au. In 1982, the brother grew tired of working for the man and decided to establish a company, Ashby Computers and Graphics Limited, to create titles for new and emerging platforms. The first pair to start developing games for the ZX Spectrum a personal 8-bit home computer released in the United Kingdom, but this was short-lived. After hearing about a new console from Japan, the brothers directed themselves to reverse engineer the console from the ground up. Their obsession would pay off for the console, known as the Famicom in Japan, would soon make its way to the Western world, where it became Nintendo. By 1985, Tim and Eric were established a specialized subdivision in their company called Rare. Operating under this name, the brothers approached Nintendo with game samples they were working on for the console. At the time, Nintendo developed a reputation for its strict rules and reluctancy to publish third-party software, which meant the pitch would not be easy. Thankfully, the gamble paid off in the big way. Ta-da! But not only did Nintendo welcome the brothers into the inner spectrum, but they were also rewarded with a large budget to create games for the newly established company. It would be a most favourable move for both parties, with the company developing highly number popular titles for the NES, Super NES, Game Boy and Nintendo 64. Games developed by Rare included Battletoads, Donkey Kong, Banjo-Kazooie, GoldenEye 64 and Perfect Dark. Love Perfect Dark. After working for Nintendo for two close decades, 2002 saw a whole huge shift for the company, with Microsoft acquiring Rare for a whopping $375 million. For 2002 money, that's huge. On their new platform, the developers worked on new titles for Perfect Dark, Killer Instinct, Banjo-Kazooie series, and as well as Kinect Sports. After quite a few years, Rare decided it was time to use Xbox One and Windows 10 platforms to create a new title. One of Rare's longest-serving developers, Greg Males, during early stages of the creative process, said the team had no idea what they wanted to create. With a rough idea they wanted to achieve, the team began fine-tuning its concept until Sea of Thieves were born. The upcoming shared-world adventure game offers players the chance to become pirates. Quote, it's a multiplayer game with crew cooperation at its core, and our ambition is to let players be kind of pirates, be the kind of pirates they want to be, Ray described in a statement. Not only was the announcement of the game building hype amongst fans, but head Xbox Phil Spencer said the title was most excited for the release on the console. Here is some gameplay footage, I'm led to believe. Unless we're going to get an ad, which case might have to call it quits. Yeah, we're going to get an ad. Well, would you look at that? Hot damn. Unless Holder wants to sponsor the generic live show, then we're going to mute their ads. Yippity-yah. I don't know what I'm padding here, folks. Give me a break. Here we go. Here's real gameplay from real players. Great Water? I don't know why Great Water would be a selling point. Alright, it's going upstairs. There's an island there that looks reminiscent, actually, from Donkey Kong 64. Hi, everybody!
Oh, hello!
Here we are.
Stay back! Stay back! Ye foul beasts!
There we go, see? That's so cool.
Help me out. There are more people can connect the thing.
Om nom 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 nom.
The main mast cells still need to go down.
Oh, they're down!
Oh, okay.
Oh, no! You're gonna hit that rock, dude. You're gonna hit that rock.
I think it's gonna be too tight.
Just go.
No, you're gonna sink us.
Oh, I found the captain's quarters. This is mine.
Captain's quarters. We're skipping ahead.
Man the cannon!
They're shooting back!
Die!
Ah! No!
No! Yeah!
Okay, wow, this looks cool.
Right?
We're gonna drown.
It's water down here.
What do we do? What do we do?
I don't know. Bail. We're screwed.
Wow. We thank God, yeah!
No!
There's a ship.
Wow.
To the left.
Oh, my God.
They're going down, yeah!
Alright, that's awesome. Too bad we're coming up on a break here, but that looks amazing, by the way. That is fantastic. As we continue here on the Generic Live Show, well, we're gonna get some different perspectives on this Brexit, European Union loses the UK. Said differently. I've thought about that perspective, have you? You really have had. I don't know what this. voice is. I feel like the show's gone off the rails a little bit today. We had fun, you know. It's a fun show. I reckon this is where GLS is at its best. It's where it's just fun and loose. We are running really behind though, so we really need to stop mucking around and get back on track. As we continue here on the Generic Live Show, thanks for joining us. It's 11:33.
Find us on Google Plus. Just search the Generic Live Show and react. This is the Generic Live Show with Dale Campbell.
Thanks for joining us here on the Generic Live Show for Wednesday. This is the makeup broadcast from this last Sunday. We're just giving you a little bit of something. We're not doing extreme. This would have been the show on Sunday, though. We haven't changed it a bit, which means that Brexit, the European Union losing the United Kingdom. See, I like to think about things in different perspectives. That's definitely a different perspective. So that is definitely a different perspective. Haven't heard it that way before, but the UK leaves the European Union, 51.9% to leave, with 48.1% to remain. Lots to see and do. We broke down how the results are calculated, but it's pretty standard. We'll break down the nation results again. England voted basically 53-47 to leave. Northern Ireland voted 56-44 to remain. Scotland voted 62-38 to remain. And Wales voted 53-47 to leave the EU. Interestingly enough, not many people are talking about the Gibraltar results. They're really fascinating. Only 4.1% of people voted to leave in the Gibraltar district. 95.9% of people voted. Remain, and it's interesting. They had one of the higher turnouts. They had 83.5% turnout. The Shetland Islands voted to remain in the majority, and the Orkney Islands voted to remain in the majority as well. A lot of the outlying areas voted to remain just so they could they don't have to strike up any deals. But the UK is striking up their deals for them, so I don't know why they don't want to leave the EU. It's a no-brainer for them to leave the EU because they will get more beneficial out of it. So we want to focus on a little bit of different perspective. We want to try and bring you different perspectives from this. We were talking about, of course, all the economic stuff in the first hour of the program. I want to talk about John Oliver slamming the...
For a powerful clean, upgrade to the new Colgate C250...
Don't you dare do that. Here is John Oliver slamming the Leave campaigners over Brexit. Have a listen.
Away with the United Kingdom, a place whose very name after this week's events is beginning to sound a bit sarcastic. Because the UK this week voted to leave the European Union, a decision that has shaken the world, and not in a Muhammad Ali beating Sonny Liston kind of way, more in a those IKEA meatballs you love contain horse kind of way. And the fallout in Britain has been swift and significant.
The Brexit decision is off to a bit of a rough start here in London. At least stocks were in free fall, the pound historically weak, and the country's in the market for a new prime minister.
That's right. David Cameron announced he would be stepping down in the wake of the vote, which should make me happy, but in this situation, it doesn't. It's like catching an ice cream cone out of the air because a child was hit by a car. I mean, I'll eat it. But it's tainted somehow. And before you have any sympathy for David Cameron, you should know this whole vote was his idea in the first place.
We will give the British people a referendum with a very simple in or out choice.
Meanwhile, the Brexit vote has boosted its two most vocal backers, Nigel Farage, leader of the UK Independence Party and three-time cover model for Punchable Face magazine, and Boris Johnson, a shaved orangutan with Owen Wilson's hair. And before and after the vote, both men drove home a common theme.
I believe that this Thursday can be our country's Independence Day.
Let June the 23rd go down in our history as our Independence Day!
OK. Just a couple of things there. First, Britain was already independent. In fact, it's what many other countries celebrate their independence from. And second, the sequel to the movie they're quoting actually opened this week and features the wholesale destruction of London, which is beginning to feel pretty f***ing appropriate right now.
I'm actually glad they censored that. John Oliver there on Brexit. He has an interesting perspective. He has an interesting perspective on Brexit. That is quite funny, though, that many people vote that have their Independence Day because they're away from the EU. That is way too accurate. It's interesting. It's too funny. But he brings up a good point, and I think people are ignoring this. This whole thing was David Cameron's idea. Now, if you don't want something to happen, don't do it. Yes, I understand that you want the people to have their voice, you want the people to be heard, but it's not at the boiling point of many people's minds. I think his analogy there of John Oliver's analogy of the kid and the ice cream is a bit extreme for my liking, but you know, you get the general idea. Of that, it's baking your cake and having it too. You can't have it both ways. And I feel like John Oliver, of course, comedian, so he has to poke fun of this. It's a different environment than what I'm sitting here talking to you about it as kind of a news bouncer. I wouldn't call myself a news presenter. I mean, I'm a host. I'm not a news presenter by any form of the imagination. This is that. I'm giving you an opinion in all of this as well. So I'm not trying to be factual. That's why I'm giving you opinion on this. So from my perspective in saying and equating it to a kid that got run over by a car and eating his ice cream, I wouldn't say that. If David Cameron decided to stay after this European exit, that would be baking your cake and having it too, because, yeah, going against what he said. But again, it's not at the pushing point. Why is it at the pushing point? The whole thing's messed up. The whole politics at the moment is messed up. I really want to say this, and I said this last hour. I said, is this a move against the establishment? Is this move against establishment politics? And I think it might be. I think that it well could be. I think it's not necessarily a bold move, but it's definitely a movement nevertheless. Meanwhile, Frank Chang over at news.com.au wrote a piece, that's my pen, wrote a piece about how Brexit could be a good thing. It could be a good thing. He writes, if there was only one thing the last 3 days have taught us, is that 20-year-old sausage duster warriors on Twitter are smarter than 52% of the British population. Okay, that's not funny at all. If you believe the outraged media, those 17.4 million Brits who decided they were sick of the belated anti-democratic corrupt European Union, telling them what to do, are comprised of entirely old, racist, straight, white men who have stripped of the vote because they're going to die soon. Okay, that's not entirely fair. I mean, if you break down the demographics, sure, it leans towards old people, but I think it's just, I'm not sure. And I said this last hour with all the hate crimes and, you know, from all the people, the majority voted to leave. Why are hate crimes going up? Why are people who voted to stay in the EU railing against people, you know, why are they committing hate crimes? If the minority is picking a fight, why? If staying in the EU meant better immigration, then why are the minority picking on immigrants? Yes, some of them are citizens, but they're people who have come from other areas and essentially migrated in the country. I mean, I've been doing my research on this sort of stuff. But I feel like an opinion piece opening with that, and this is going to get interesting. Let's see. This whole thing is boring. It's astonishing that in the wake of a single most empathetic displays of pure democracy in recent history, there is concerned campaign to subvert the will of the people. Okay. Apparently democracy is only a good thing when it goes your way. Anything else is madness. Okay, here's the thing. Okay, I want to read that sentence again. I really want to focus on that sentence. Here we go. It's astonishing that in the wake of the single most empathetic displays of pure democracy in recent histories, there is a concerted campaign to subvert the will of the people. Hang on. That is me banging my head against the microphone, ladies and gentlemen. I feel like that no, just no, just all of the no to that sentence. No, 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 no. My name is no. His sign is no. No. I mean, that is what democracy is. it's this person read a newspaper recently. I know you work for... Oh, there goes my microphone. I know he works for news.com.au, but has he read, like, anything at all recently? Giving the people a say is legitimately what a democracy should be. Should be. Whether it is or not is another story. But I feel that... And if a decision doesn't go your way, yeah, then of course you have to step down, you dipshit. Sorry, I swore. I think I can get away with one S-bomb. You dummy, you big dumbo. I think... I really nearly dropped an F-bomb. That would have been dramatic. But I don't know. It sickens me. You know, giving the people a say is what we should be doing. And of course, if the people say differently, then what you do, then... This drives me up the banana. What did I just say? It pisses me off. Giving the people a referendum. Like I said, it's not at a tipping point. I'll agree. But a referendum is an indicator to allow the people to vote. It's a non-compulsory referendum, by the way. Gives the opportunity to give people a say. And then, if the decision goes against what the person has, what their alliances and why they called the referendum, what the reason is why they called the referendum, if the vote doesn't go their way, then of course they have to react. People, pay attention. I am done with this person. Done. As we continue. Done with you. Go away. Get out of my life. Wow, I got fired up there. As we continue, our friends at Secret really, really want to be following up that, don't they? SecretSpa.com. They have a wonderful sale going on for the end of the financial year. 2 days only. The sale ends at midnight, 30th of June 2016, Australian Eastern Standard Time Zone. They have two offers going off. They have a buy one, get one free on selected items that are indicated, and 25% off all other products. To get the 2-for-1 offer, go to secretspa.com, get yourself the item that you want that is eligible for the sale, add it to your shopping bag. When you check out, use the coupon code 2FOR12FOR1 as your coupon code to get buy one get one free on your products. Not valid with any other offer or promotion. No rain checks. And of course, while stocks last. Promotion valid from midnight 28th of June to the midnight Australian Eastern Standard Time Zone 30th of June 2016. Only available on selected products. 25% discount. Not available on the 2-for-1 products. Go to secretspa.com. When you check out, use the coupon code 2FOR1241. And enjoy 2-for-1 products for the end of financial year sale. Secret minerals from the deep sea to make you look beautiful. I use them on occasion and I love them. As we continue here on the Generic Live Show, well, it's all come down to this. We're going to give you a rundown for the July 2nd election. One final rundown. Of course, we're going to do a post-election show on Sunday. But one final rundown of what all the candidates are saying to make you make up your mind as the informed voter as you are, as you should be, will tell you what you need to know. And a couple of other housekeeping things as well that we need to cover up here on the Generic Love Show. As we continue, it's 11:53.
Shut up and sit down.
Finally found the most generic live show. This is the Generic Live Show with Dale Campbell.
Thanks for joining us here on the Generic Live Show. Busy second hour here. We're rounding out our broadcast this morning. Thanks for joining us, whether you're listening to us live or on your hard drive. Glad you could be with us. Busy day, busy broadcast. Lots said, particularly in the second hour of the broadcast. I feel like the second hour of the broadcast is being longer than the first, but that's good. We had a live spill. That'll be on the podcast. So enjoy that while that lasts. But thanks for joining us. It's always a pleasure to know that there are listeners out there. Now we're going to give you a big round out of the election in 2016. The Australian election is on Saturday, the 2nd of July. Here we go. The hot topics outlined by you in Queensland were business and economic, second, and health services and jobs. So let's break it down for you on what they say, the two primary candidates say about economics and jobs. It will offer $48 billion in corporate tax cuts over 10 years to encourage new investment in the transition economy to employ more. That is the coalition. The Labor Party says it wants a highly trained workforce ready for a new generation of jobs such as renewable energy to boost economic growth. How about health? The coalition would give states an extra $2.9 billion until 2020 and freeze the Medicare rebate for a further 2 years. Labor says that they will provide $2 billion more for public hospitals than the other side, promising to restore the coalition's health cuts and spend over $100 million over 2 years on primary care and preserve Medicare in its present form. What was the other issue? Jobs. I think I covered that pretty much. What about terrorism? The coalition states it wants to better organization of federal and state police and counter-terrorism units, increased security of online recruitment of terrorists, and the creation of foreign fighters task force with coercive powers to and resources to uncover terror networks. And Labor says that they has backed the recent coalition's initiative, including greater powers for security agents to look at metadata of private emails and telephone calls, and tough laws on domestic terrorism. So there's the two major parties as they face off on July 2nd. Get out there, by the way. Get out there and vote. Otherwise, it's a fine, so you'll be paying a fine if you don't vote. That's my paper towel, by the way, that I used earlier. I got my finger right on it. There. Right there. Get out there, vote. If you're in the local area, a few bit of housekeeping. If you're in the local area, I'll be down at the Red Lynch State College representing Sharon Howes, the Labour candidate for Leichhardt, between 8 and 11. So pop on by and say hello. I'll be in the area between 8 and 11 if you're in the local area. Come say hi. I'll be down there from 8 till 11. I'll probably get there a little bit earlier. I might stay a little bit longer depending on how busy it is. 8 till 11, I'll be down at Red Lynch State College in the beautiful Red Lynch Valley. I'll be down there as well. Another bit of housekeeping. GLS is going on holidays. No, I'm not taking any time off. We're going on a collective holiday. We're going down to Melbourne. So we're going to have a show live from Melbourne. Don't have too many details there. All I know is the week of the 21st of August, we'll be doing the show live from Melbourne. So, exciting stuff. We're going to sort out details. We're going to be pushing. We're going to be pushing it. If anyone knows Melbourne or anything to do in Melbourne, please come. I'll be pushing out where I will be. Please come along or tune in to the YouTube live feed. It'll be fun to see y'all down in Melbourne. I'll be down there, like I said, week of the 21st of August, so a little under 2 months away. I'll be in Melbourne. We have a family vacation. It'll be a family vacation. It'll be fun. We've got talks already about. Want to get any ideas on where I should go on vacation for the best of 2016? We did the show live near Disney last year for the Disney Marathon. Want to get ideas on where to take the show on vacation next. We're going to Melbourne, but in January, the tradition has been to go on vacation and do the show from live around the world. Want to know where my next stop will be. That's it for the show. Thank you for being with us here on the Generic Live Show. Glad you'll be with us. It's a pleasure as always. It's 12:01.
This has been a Chef Wonder Media production. For more, visit chefwondermedia.net. Delivered fresh to your ear holes. Copyright 2016.
This has been a podcast of the Geek AO Media Network, where you put your geek in and geek out. For more geeky goodness, head over to geek-io.net. Copyright 2016.